morning from Las Vegas, everyone. It's day two of the Interbike 2008 Expo, and Interbike today started with a press conference by cycling legend Lance Armstrong. On the stage with him, Don Catlin, who's in charge of his testing program, and also Taylor Finney, who will be probably one of the lead riders on his under-23 Livestrong development team. Also in the room, cycling legends Eddie Merckx and Greg LeMond. Now, I did record today's press conference. The audio quality is a bit sketchy, so bear with me here. There was no place to plug in the microphone, which is unusual for a press conference, and the room was huge, so the acoustics were not so great. Plus, you'll hear the clicking of hundreds of cameras because the room was packed, not only with cycling media, but also mainstream media alike. What you'll also hear was a bit of contentiousness between Lance Armstrong and Greg LeMond. Greg LeMond sitting right in the front of the room and asking some very pointed questions about the dope testing that will be going on with Lance Armstrong in the coming season. Specifically, Greg LeMond wondering whether they were going to be doing some VO2 max testing. He believes that baselining VO2 max testing is the best way to catch dopers in cycling, even offering that he had brought a VO2 max testing machine here to Las Vegas and that he would test Lance here today. Lance sort of poo-pooed that, and the two times that Greg decided that he wanted to break in, Lance looking at him like he was listening to a boring old college professor and moving on quickly. A couple of times when Lance specifically aimed comments at an older generation in cycling and their views about doping in the sport, he even pointed at Greg LeMond at one point. Greg LeMond sitting there looking very agitated, very angry, shaking his head, rolling his eyes at several of Lance's answers. So that alone was a very interesting visual today. Nevertheless, I've got the audio for you. I hope you enjoy it. Hope that it is audible. And I will be back a little bit later with a regular show from here at Interbike with my normal interviews. Until then, enjoy the press conference. And of course, enjoy the ride. We'll see you later.
Good morning, everybody. As most of you probably know, we announced yesterday the official return to professional cycling. I announced my official return to professional cycling. In New York City, we had quite an epic day that had started early in New York doing some media. Then finally the formal announcement with President Clinton on the global Livestrong campaign and the Livestrong Summit in Paris and all of the things associated with that. And then flew here to Las Vegas, got beat up a little bit last night on the cyclocross event, which felt great. For a long day, but most importantly, I thought it was essential that we be here at this event and at the trade show to announce, to come back to you all and allow you the opportunity to ask questions. So there's been a couple of updates since yesterday. I've changed my mind. Just kidding. It crossed my mind about 20 minutes into Cross Vegas. I was like, are you sure you want to do this? Just kidding. The one update from yesterday is that I will now be doing the Tour of California. So we'll start a Tour Down Under, then head to training camp, and then do the Tour of California. The only other things that, that I would want to reiterate from yesterday is the two men on the stage with me to my left is Taylor Finney. We will be building a development team in and around Taylor, managed by Axel Merckx. Axel could not be here today. His wife had some surgery, and so he was with her in Canada. However, we got a pretty good surrogate. I don't know where Eddie is. Where's Eddie? Hi, Eddie's hiding over there, so Axel's dad, Eddie, is here. But Taylor can talk about the development team, and we felt like that was critical for American cycling, too. To my right is Mr. Don Catlin, because we know there's always plenty of questions in and around cycling and in and around performance, so we wanted to make sure that, that this go-around, we would eliminate any and all doubts on the off chance that I would be able to ride fast again. So Don is here for that, and I really tried to seek out the most credible and most well-respected anti-doping crusader, especially here in the United States. So Don can answer questions also on that stuff, I suppose. And, so anybody have any questions? Yeah, I can step in. I see Mr. Greg Lamont is here.
Yeah, I just want to ask about what happened. This is going to be a real thing of transparency. They either will only want to do the testing.
He'll be subject to testing by everybody under the sun, I imagine. I think that'll all get sorted out. I'll be an extra part and try to work with all of them. Do I understand what? That's not my area. You want to talk about? Pardon? What is your question?
Craig, can I just step in for a second? I understand. I'd like to make sure that you've done your job. We're here to talk about a few things. The Global Cancer Campaign, the comeback to cycling, and the credibility of the internet. It's time for us, everybody in this room, to move on. We're not going to go back in here. I appreciate you being here.
The whole history is...
Next question.
Past,
right?
Tim? That's we want to go back action. 1 year from now, spreading the gospel worldwide about this strong program, what do you hope to achieve? What do you hope to
Well, we've dealt with this in the United States for a long time, and the epidemic is different in the U.S. than it is in, for example, India or Italy or Australia or other places around the world. They face the disease, but they face it in a different way. Perhaps they don't have the same factors that are involved in the diagnosis or involved in the advance of the disease, but in the developed world and in the underdeveloped world, it's a totally different scenario. So, obviously, in a comment like Africa, you can come in, and while we talk about HIV/AIDS and tuberculosis and malaria and all these things, I think in the same breath, you have to discuss cancer and discuss the potential to vaccinate a whole continent full of young women and prevent cervical cancer later in their lifetime. Other continents or other countries that are more developed, you still have the same healthcare issues, the same delivery issues. But we hope we can advance the message. Bridgestone is a campaign that's familiar all around the world. It's not just a Texas campaign, the United States campaign. It truly has been a global campaign. Command, the yellow bands were sold all over the world. And so we think by racing in all of these different continents, we can have an effect there. Trek is the main sponsor of the development team. There'll be other sub-sponsors assisting. My involvement will be as much as I can, schedule permitting. I think it's the opportunity to attend training camps and attend some races with these young guys is something I look forward to. Primarily, Axel will be the one running the show day to day, and we look forward to helping develop these young kids.
I appreciate what you're doing for cancer. In the United States, 45,000 people die every year from cars.
Yeah.
And I guess a great number also died from cancer related to heart disease. And it's still very hard to ride a bike in America, much harder than Europe. And it's one of the biggest problems we face today. Very serious. I'm curious about the hospital. What can you do?
Well, I understand what you're saying, and especially as somebody who travels, you go somewhere and you try to figure out where to ride your bike, and you look for a series of bike lanes or a set of bike lanes. They don't always exist, and I think it's safe to say that our roads and streets and communities don't feel and look and seem the same that they did when we were kids. Like, I'm not sure that I would let my kids go out and ride around on everyday streets these days. They're good examples, and they're far and wide. I mean, you could look to an example of Portland, Oregon, which is really the gold standard that will not pave a mile of road without a mile of bike path. I think that's the, again, that's the gold standard. Even cities like Lexington, Kentucky, Boston, Massachusetts, huge advocacy groups there, huge infrastructure support in terms of building bike lanes, elevated bike lanes to keep cars and cyclists separated. And quite frankly, for the industry, if you want to get people into the sport, I mean, most people get a bike, a road bike, they go out and they get, you know, one close swipe by a car and they say, that's it, I don't want to do this anymore. And so that's a bad thing for the industry. So the more we can encourage our local, regional, state governments, even our federal government, to fund proper, you know, rails to trails or whatever it comes through, the better off we'll all be. So there's two things there, too, I'll add, is that from an environmental perspective, this is a good thing. I mean, more bikes, less cars, we can figure out environmentally is a great thing. Secondly, and most importantly, I think, is for the health of the people that ride bikes. If you have a short drive, why drive your car when you jump on your bike and pedal down it? Because it's government. Everything happens slow in the government. And the key is just to be persistent.
There was talk of you guys being sort of a Livestrong team. What transpired for you to decide to stand up for
it? It was so difficult, I mean, very difficult to start with your own team. Two things. Number one, I was extremely loyal to Johan. I couldn't imagine racing against him or racing without him. And secondly, extremely loyal to track. And so it would have been, it was a natural fit to go to Astana because Johan was there, track was there. The main infrastructure of the team that I always had before is still there. And so, you know, mostly out of loyalty to those two, I say.
Christian Baker, psychologist. I think often Christian Prudhoe was earning an invitation where they sold the time for the science invitation to earn.
I have not spoken to him. I saw in the press this morning that he said Astana was more than welcome to come to all 2009 races. Barring any further controversy, but we're not, I don't think we're worried about that.
That.
What was that? This is all really, really special for me because I had two people who really influenced my cycling career when I was first starting out, and that was meeting Axel Merckx and then meeting Lance on the 2005 Tour. And just having those two people come together and want to support me and my future is just something that is crazy for me, and it's just super exciting. And you know, I do feel sad about leaving Garmin to build that Wisconsin program, and I thank Jonathan Butters for everything he's done for me. I mean, without him, I don't think I would be who I am right now, or as, you know, have come as far as I have. But it's just felt like, you know, this was the right thing to do for me, and I'm really excited for next year. I think it's going to be a good time. So, you know, we're still working out a lot of details, but I'm excited. So.
If you were up at the top of your world, what would your thoughts be?
Oh, I don't. That's hard. I never raced on the same team. I raced in the same peloton with him. You know, I would tell Alberto, just like I said yesterday, is I'm not sure after 4 years off the bike and being 4 years older if I can be as competitive, nearly as competitive as I was before. It isn't about that. As I also said yesterday and have maintained over the last year, I think he is the best bike rider in the world right now. You know, I don't know how the events will unfold. I certainly hope he stays with the team. I certainly think he's a great rider and a good guy. I'm sure he'll be asked a lot about it over the next couple months. I would reiterate, I'm looking forward not only to be reunited with Johan and the rest of the gang that I knew before, but also new faces, essentially, like Alberto and Paulinho that I didn't race with before, and other guys that are sort of new to the team. And I also would add Levi Liebheimer to this, because if you looked at the Vuelta, Alberto won. He won by 46 or 47 seconds. He won that race based on time bonuses. On the road, time trials, climbs, etc., they were dead even on time. So Levi is really in the same position. And I think, you know, Levi is one of America's greatest cyclists, certainly today, if not of all time. So we have some figuring to do, but I'm not concerned about it.
Have you talked to him yet?
I have not. Which, Levi or neither? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't know how the language skills would go down between the two, because my Spanish isn't that great, and I'm not exactly sure how his English is. But I mean, I would reiterate that I'm looking forward to a strong partnership. Tim, you already asked a question. You want to know? Hang on, let's go to the side first. Yes.
Thanks. I just asked, how are you going to be providing for 1 year or 2?
Honestly, there's no contract, because there's no salary, there's no bonus. I would have ridden. This is essentially a donation, because it's more about the campaign. So I think we had some concerns to the Livestrong presence on the jersey. Once that was done, then we were basically done. I'll ride for at least a year, but I don't want to say that it's one and out. It could be more. I think a big part of it will be how long it takes us to unroll this campaign and unravel it and roll out the campaign globally. So if it ends at the summit in Paris, we have commitments from world leaders, and we can ultimately see them implemented. It might be beneficial to race another year. I have other endurance-related things I'd like to do after cycling, but I don't know. It's just hard to say. So, I guess the first one's for me and the second one's for Don. Yeah. Doping in sport and the questions in and around that are really not just cycling questions, they're questions about all sports and all performance related achievements where people can or cannot question them. So I discussed it yesterday, and I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again today. I discussed it yesterday. I'll discuss it today. Beyond today, I don't believe that it's beneficial for cycling to constantly sit around and question performance and to accuse people and to point fingers. Older generations versus newer generations versus current generations versus whatever. I think we as a sport and we as a movement must recognize that doping has always existed in sport. Doping probably will always exist. Don can answer that better. But ultimately, as an event, you lay out the rules, you make them very public. If people cross the line, you kick them out and you keep moving. We don't stop, we don't cry, we don't whine, we don't say that our sport is doomed or our sport is finished. We move on. Cycling has been around a long time. It has weathered many, many storms. I'm a believer in cycling. So it was a level of transparency that I just didn't want to leave I didn't want to leave that box unchecked. And so I sought out Don. He has a job to do, and it's his job. It's not my job. I will subject myself to whatever he wants. But ultimately, I think at some point we as sports fans and cycling fans must get back to enjoying the race and respecting the riders and respecting the performances. So hopefully this helps. I can't guarantee that it will. There will always be people that question performance. We understand that. But that has to be a minor line of the story. The major line is the movement and is the global campaign. And it would have been, it's the best thing to have it out there and to have Don participating. Do you want to answer the second part?
What was it?
What was the second part exactly?
Yeah, what will the testing program look like? It's still taking, it's taking shape. He has agreed to a couple of very fundamental points. And one is that his data, like his TE ratio and all of that kind of stuff that the doping control labs do, he'll put out on the web. So you can see it. It'll be public, and you can look and you say, ah, your TE ratio changed today. What happened? That sort of thing. Electropharograms to see whether he's taking EPO. That'll all be out there. It's a very public campaign. There's nothing that he has asked or nor would I accept. It's off bounds. Everything is on bounds. He's going to be subjected, no doubt, to tell. And the other thing is samples are going to be kept and saved and frozen for a good long time. Some people say forever. But so that if next year, 5 years from now, a new test comes up and somebody says, well, Lance must have been doing this 5 years ago, pull out the samples and test them. It's another way to go. This is longitudinal testing. The usual kind of testing is you take a stop in time and collect a urine and test it for everything. This is where you connect the dots of the sample from today to the one from next week to the next week. It's a much more powerful kind of program and one that I've been itching to do some work on for many, many years. It can really help to understand exactly the physiology and what's going on with people. So that's why I'm pretty excited about it.
I just want to know, you've got data all the way back on the United States, Washington. Output power is still a matter of TD ratio, which is not about oxygen delivery to muscle. That produces oxygen. It's pretty easy to keep it. Blood type body. It's going to help you recover the floor, but that produces 500 watts, 450 watts. So you can match numbers in the past, and pretty much you can see it. Somebody with clear genetics, about 100 milliliters, pretty usually about 500 watts. So analytical ratio is almost irrelevant.
Well, maybe they're relevant, but the sport doping fathers don't think they're it's irrelevant because they chase people down and they collect them all the time and they find positives for this and that.
Yeah.
But, okay.
But just face it, the curve has had a major problem. It's basically on the steps that I was there this year and I talk to people and I see what's happening to the sport. And as long as, control is being, advising by the IOC and the results of putting my proteins and not how they should have. And I think it's very easy. I mean, I got here for Max Machine here today. Max wants to do a test. Baseline of VO2 Max today. And that baseline is there. Baseline is there in the door. That's the bottom line.
I dare say you know this business pretty well. Come with your ideas of what we should do. I can help with the doping side.
So I'm looking at it as a very simple way of eliminate 90% of drug testing ability is that you start baseline I have one probably at 16. I'm just adapting to the future of that testing. Baseline from day one with VO2 max matching that testing during the race. You could have a VO2 max and below VO2 max in winter, but the stuff out there that if you test it at that time, you go from 80 over to 90 over to the top. So the area of the most. The rope is supposed to be above. Anabolic steroids help to fight it. So that helps you push yourself to be able to push yourself to the cardiac.
I almost wish we had a fourth seat up here. Craig. And you know what, bud? You know. And we appreciate your feedback. Absolutely. Greg, thank you. Thank you.
We can talk with him later.
Tim?
Given that the possibility that the astonishing will be right at half, what are your feelings about going back to France where you went to set 4 years in a row and have a kind of special and unique relationship with France? I guess your vibe on that.
Yeah.
Big challenge for you also with that.
No, it's not. I think a lot has been made about the tension between myself and the roadside and the fans on the roadside in France. There's also been a lot made about the tension between our countries and our societies versus each other and how that all sits inside of world politics and world polemics. But the fact of the matter is I think it's a great country. I've always enjoyed my time there. I've lived there for quite some time. I'm looking forward to going back. I don't think that the tour will be my first experience in France. I mean, I could see a Paris-Nice, for example. I was with President Sarkozy the other night, and I can tell you, I think he's excited for this. He was very very friendly and very open and very complimentary, so maybe that's a good indication, although you never know. But nonetheless, it's time to move on, and it's time for the tour to be a great event, as it always has been for more than 100 years. I'm excited to go. I think it's an interesting route from the leaks that we've seen, in that it starts in Monte Carlo, which is near to where I lived in the south of France. You've heard also leaks of a departure into Catalonia, another place that I lived, with a stage start in Girona and a stage finish in Barcelona. And then finally, again, another leap that perhaps we'll see an uphill time trial on the Vaughan too. So all of these things come together to make for an amazingly beautiful tour, a dramatic tour. And I think it'll be good for the fans and for the riders and for the teams and for the media. Bruce?
Yeah.
The team will pay for it. And I don't know, I'm sure it'll cost a lot. Unfortunately, it's probably, Don can answer that, I guess, better if he even knows, but it's probably prohibitive for a lot of athletes to do that. I suppose I have a little, since I'm not taking a salary, I can ask the team to do certain things, and this was one that was imperative, but it was important for me not to be involved there. In other words, not having a financial stake in that. And listen, Don has his time. You have your time. I have my time. We all get reimbursed for that time. He has a job to do, and ethically and morally, he'll do his job, and at the same time, be reimbursed and compensated for his work.
Let's take two more questions. This question is actually for Carol. Carol, we're across Vegas last night. Can you describe your experience participating in the Olympics in China? And second of all, do you find that there's any added pressure on you to do well, given your lineage, the fact that both of your parents were Olympic athletes?
Well, to start off, the Olympics were, that was definitely one of the coolest, if not the coolest experience of my life. I was there for a long time, I was there for 2 weeks, and usually cyclists, you know, get in, get out, but I'm not pro yet, so I got to hang out and meet some Olympians and, you know, just hang out. So that was cool for me. And then with regards to pressure, I do feel extra pressure, but it's something I can handle and it's something that I can take with myself and, you know, add it to my drive to win, I guess you could say. I didn't do as well as I wanted to in Beijing, but I feel like I have 4 or 5 Olympics left to go, so. I'll be here for a while.
Wow. Good question. Yes, I think it's. I'm trying to juggle my schedule. I was supposed to be doing an event with Maria Shriver that day. I believe it's on October 22nd. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I would like to be there. My lawyer. Which lawyer? We're doing our best to be there. It's a little sensitive with Maria because it's her big conference in Southern California, but I think she understands. I hope, and so it's my goal to be there. Yeah, well, like I said earlier, I don't know. I think we have to enter into it with an open perspective. And I certainly would not expect to be the leader in any race if I wasn't the strongest man on the team. So we'll play that day by day, week by week, month by month. And then leading up to it, I will not only follow the orders of the team, but I'll follow the orders of the director. And I think that's the critical thing. You have a team, you have an organization, you have a coach, and ultimately the athletes have to follow the orders of the coach. And so Johan will make that call. He's very smart. He'll understand who's strongest and not strongest. He knows that the number one ambition is for the team to win. So I will follow orders as they come, and we'll see. You know, again, I can't reiterate enough. 4 years is a long time to be off the bike. But time will tell.
Oh, the other question is there, do you want to summarize anything you can vote
today? No.
What are the risks going to practice?
Just the ones that I said. Just so far we have Tour Down Under, Tour of California, Tour de France.
Risks.
Oh, risks. I'm sorry. I thought you said races.
What are the risks to you?
Oh, well, there's a lot of risks in cycling. You know, obviously, cycling is potentially a deadly sport. I lost a teammate in the Tour de France in 1995, so you always have that risk. You know, there's risks on your time. There's obviously I'll have time away from my children. That is a risk, but that for me comes down to a relationship, a strong relationship with their mother and with the kids. And this was not only a decision of mine to take, but it was also a decision of hers to take. And if she wasn't supportive of that, then I simply wouldn't have done it, because although we're not married, we have a unique partnership and a unique relationship, and the most important thing at stake is the lives of 3 little kids. So we have to balance and juggle that. That to me is a big risk, but I think we've worked that out. So I appreciate her support. Thank you all.